It really goes without saying, but we need to say it anyway. We all have much to be thankful for as we celebrate Thanksgiving. Our primary praise must be to God. He is the giver of every blessing of life. And how liberally and richly and generously He pours out on us His good and perfect gift. You know, that's what James calls his gifts, good and perfect. Now, how can you improve on that? We need to understand, friends, that what God gives to us is good. What God gives to us is perfectly graced for what and who we are. Psalm 117 tells us His merciful kindness is great toward us. His merciful kindness is great toward us, which should prompt the response, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for all you have done and continue to do to bless me as you grow me in your likeness. Now, being thankful is something that we are all commanded to be, which Psalm 118 capsules in its mandate. Let's say it together. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever. We have here in this verse our 3 points this morning. And point number one is the command to give thanks. Point number two is the reason to give thanks to the Lord. And the third point is the description of the Lord's goodness. How does the psalmist describe this good God? Sandwiched between the shortest and the longest psalm, Psalm 118 is a post-exilic psalm, meaning it belongs during the time when the remnant returned from Babylon to the Promised Land. And further, this psalm, which is the last of the Hallel psalms, and those psalms are Psalm 113 to 118, was sung at the close of the Paschal or Passover feast. Now, this favorite psalm of Martin Luther sets before us a journey to glory, and it takes us by way of Calvary to our home in the skies. And interestingly, this sojourn begins and ends with praise to God, which we see, if you'll look at verse 1, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever." If you look at the last verse of this psalm, we see those exact same words. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever. But here we have, in the first and the last verses of this psalm, the command to give thanks. We are commanded to be thankful. How often we are unthankful. When you feel like being unthankful, remind yourself, God commands us to be thankful. The psalmist charges us, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Now, the word oh means this psalm opens with an emphatic call to give thanks to God, who deserves our unmistakable, resounding, energetic praise. Psalm 117 tells us we are to praise the Lord. Oh, our thanks to the Lord is to be filled with praises of gratefulness. And so we sing the words of Ron Hamilton, "Worthy of all my praise. You are worthy, Lord, of all my praise. I bow at your throne and I worship you alone. Oh, Lord, you are worthy, worthy of my praise." Now, what about you? Do you enter our Lord's gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise? Did you come here this morning with grateful heart? Do you give thanks to Him and praise His name? Friends, our praise to God is to be continual. Hebrews 13:15, we looked at this verse on Wednesday. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The fruit of our lips, in other words, what we speak, is to be graced with thanks. Thanks to God. Psalm 92, verses 1 and 2. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. And so as we arise in the morning, our hearts declare, this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, thank you for another day. Thank you for life. And then at night, as we close our day, we proclaim, all I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Oh, might we throughout each day express to God our appreciation, our gratitude, because, and here is our second point, which is the reason to thank the Lord, which is for he is good. Now, Spurgeon states, this is reason enough for giving him thanks. Goodness is his essence and nature, and therefore he is always to be praised whether we are receiving anything from him or not. Those who only praise God because he does them good should rise to a higher note and to give thanks because God is good. And let's say it together. God is good. Now, friends, God and only God is truly good. We surely aren't. I mean, we're not good, but God is. In fact, Mark 10:18 says, no one is good but one, and he is God. And understand, because God is good, we know he is good all the time. Think about that. Because God is good, he has to be good all the time. Because, you know, we get grouchy with God, don't we? When things don't go the way we want them to go, I mean, we kind of start raising some Cain. And we will say, God, what is going on? Now, it's all right to share our hearts with God. I mean, we need to do that. But in the process, we always must remember that because God is good to me all the time. When the trials come, God is good to me. There are numbers of verses. We surely can't give them all to you this morning. Let me give you some examples. Exodus 34:6, God abounds in goodness. 1 Chronicles 16:34, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. Psalm 25:8, good and upright is the Lord. Psalm 34:8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Psalm 119:68, you are good. Teach me your statutes. Nahum 1:7, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. Let me give you one more. Psalm 31:19, oh, how great is your goodness which you have laid up for those who fear you. God is good. Why do we praise God? Why should it be a natural response from our heart to our God to give him praise? Because the God we worship and believe in and serve is good. This morally excellent, holy God is good. Friends, the gods of the heathen are mean and angry. And that is so pronounced in my thinking when I see missionaries come and present their burden for the particular field that God is sending them to. And they'll take us into shrines, into places where these heathen go to worship. And there their gods are set up before them. And they're offering sacrifices. They're burning candles to their gods. But their gods never have a smile. They're always angry. They're always upset. But our God, the true and living God, is good. And because God is good, Psalm 119:68 tells us God does good. As one author states, God's goodness concentrates in what he does, which brings us to our third point, which is the description of God's goodness, which answers the question, how is God's goodness expressed? Well, it is declared, as we see in verse 1, and as we see at the end of this psalm, it's expressed in his mercy. God's goodness is expressed, it's declared in his mercy. Psalm 118 tells us, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever." Now, what is God's mercy? Well, it has been defined as his loyal covenant love. In other words, his loving kindness. He's kind, but he's loving in his kindness. Now, God's grace is defined as giving us what we do not deserve, whereas God's mercy is defined as withholding what we do deserve. Wayne Grudem defines mercy as God's goodness toward those in misery and distress. And we are in this state of distress. We are those people. We are in misery and distress because of our sin. Friends, always remember, sin brings to you misery and distress. And that's the state we are in. And yet, because of his great love, God, who is rich in mercy, as Ephesians 2 tells us, has not dealt with us after our sins, but he has made us alive with Christ when we were dead in transgressions and sins. Now, what can we say are the qualities of God's mercy which brings us life? Well, if you'll turn to Numbers chapter 14, there are two verses that I want to draw your attention to, verse 18 and then verse 19. These verses give us a wonderful view of God's extended mercy. Let me read them for you. "The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now." Here we find four qualities of mercy. And the first is, the mercy of God has the quality of patience. Verse 18 tells us, "The Lord is long-suffering." Now, we deserve the anger of God, amen? And yet, in his mercy, God is slow to anger. He endures long and patiently with us. He endures long and patiently with us. The second quality of mercy, God's kindness, which we see in the words "great mercy." The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy. Friends, God has abundant loving kindness. The Hebrew words used here mean mighty, strong, even numerous. And loving kindness has its root in mercy, which tells us, and I love this, God's mercy is strongly kind. It's not just kind, there's strength to his kindness. In other words, there's a tangibility to his kindness. Wow. God withholds what we do deserve, his cruelty, because of the gospel, and he gives us his generous compassion. The mercy of God, number three, has the quality of justice. God does not leave the guilty unpunished. He does not clear the guilty, which tells us God is just for sending unrepented people to hell, meaning it would be unjust of God to allow unrepented people to enter heaven. But through what Jesus, the just one, has done, through justification, which declares us righteous, God in his mercy withholds what we as sinners deserve, death and hell, and gives us in its place life in heaven. when we call upon the name of the Lord, His mercy is poured out upon us. When we say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, His response is life and heaven. And then number four, the mercy of God has the quality of forgiveness. And certainly verses 18 and 19 tell us God forgives. He pardons iniquity according to the greatness of His mercy. We deserve never to be forgiven, but because of God's mercy, He forgives us over and over and over and over again. And we have this assurance in 1 John 1:9, if you know it, say it with me. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's mercy. And then Psalm 118 ends with the words, endureth forever. Because God's mercy endureth forever. We can be glad about that. God's goodness seen so vividly in His mercy, which is patient, kind, just, and forgiving, never, never, never ends. It endureth forever. Now, this italicized word endureth has the meaning for His mercy forever, which simply means God's mercy had no beginning and it will surely have no ending. And aren't we thankful for that? I mean, that means that we'll have eternal life. That means there's never going to be any condemnation heaped upon us. His mercy endureth forever. You don't have to ever think, well, how long can I stay in heaven? His mercy endureth forever. So we who deserve the wages of our sins, which is death, will forever be mercifully granted eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Again, no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. And I say He truly is a good and merciful God. And so again, what is to be our response to such love? Well, Psalm 118:1 answers our question, oh, give thanks. What is our response? Give thanks unto the Lord. Why? For He is good. And how is His goodness expressed? Because His mercy endureth forever. Now, having such a grateful heart is not only spiritually rewarding, but physically compensating. A professor by the name of Robert Emmons, considered the world's leading scientific expert on gratefulness. I guess there's an expert for everything, amen? Says that gratitude reduces toxic emotions ranging from envy to frustration. It reduces depression and increases happiness. And yes, it will even help you to sleep better. It will help you to sleep. Go to bed with a thankful heart. Before you close your eyes, remind yourself and declare to God, great is your faithfulness, Lord God, to me. Other research shows that grateful people experience fewer aches and pains and report generally just feeling better, which all tells us a thankful spirit is good for body and soul. Now, in application, since we have been given such mercy, we can surely share God's mercy with others. Amen? Mercy that has the quality of patience. Are you patient with other people? Am I patient with my wife? Is she patient with me? Are we patient with our children? I mean, who's perfect? Surely we as parents aren't perfect. We hope our children are patient with us, and we know our children aren't perfect, and hopefully we're patient with them, amen? When we show mercy to others, we're patient with others. Mercy that is strongly kind. What is something kind you have done this past week? Mercy that is just. I mean, there is right and there is wrong. Mercy that is forgiving. The forgiven are to forgive. Ephesians 4:30, if you know it, say it with me. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And how this mercy is needed in our nation today. What brings to pass mercy in our own hearts begins when individuals in the misery and distress of sin cry out for mercy to God. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Friends, God always answers that prayer, which means we can leave here this morning with hope and thanksgiving.